The Reverend Elizabeth Edmond is an activist and a political strategist who spent two decades in the struggle to become an openly queer priest in the Episcopal Church. The Reverend Marian Edmonds Allen is an ordained minister and the executive director of Parity, working at the intersection of faith and LGBT concerns, and is the director of Blessed by Difference. Since 2017, they have co-conspired on Glitter Ash Wednesday, with more than 150 congregations taking part, and I'm very interested in hearing more. Reverend Liz, Reverend Marian, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks so much, Paul. It's a delight to be here with you.
Yes, yeah, such a joy. Thank you.
Let me have the origins of Glitter Ash Wednesday. How did this idea start, and what need did it fill?
Yeah. So it was my idea. And back in 2016, it was Ash Wednesday, and I'm an Episcopalian, and so very liturgical. And my office is down in Lower Manhattan, and so it's Ash Wednesday, and I'm walking around, and my book, Queer Virtue, was just about to come out. And so I was already thinking about like the parallels between queer experience and Christian experience. So I'm walking around downtown and seeing all these people like walking around with the ashes on their heads. And all of a sudden, I saw that in a new way. And what I saw was these people have just come out as Christian. And I found myself thinking, I wonder if it'd be possible to come out not just as Christian, but as a particular kind of Christian, like as a Christian who is queer positive, basically. But it was already Ash Wednesday, you know. So I made a little note on my phone with an alarm to go off in January the following year to remind me, think about this a little bit in advance of Ash Wednesday. So January of 2017 comes and my phone pings and I'm looking at that. Oh, yeah, that old idea. My girlfriend was there, and she was actually packing for the Women's March on Washington that was about to take place in January of 2017. And I said to her, I said, I had this idea. Would it be possible for people to come out, sort of be visibly queer and visibly Christian? How would you do that with Ash Wednesday? And she said, put glitter in the ash. And I got to tell you, you know, like Ash Wednesday is really important to me. Like I really take the liturgy of it seriously. And as soon as she said it, I was a little bit taken aback. Like, I don't know about this, but it was an intriguing idea. So we hit the books together and I found this quote from St. Augustine. Now understand January, 2017, I don't mean this in a partisan way, but there were a lot of people right then who were very concerned about the direction the country was headed and who were afraid and afraid that we were going down a really negative road, like a really bad road. And so Augustine said that it really matters not to despair, that even when you're facing really hard times, it matters not to fall into despair because despair paralyzes. And I knew instantly that that was the significance of putting glitter in the ash.
Mm, I love that. But I do want to make a correction. It wasn't your idea. It was your girlfriend's idea. So let's just get that clear.
Well, I have had that conversation many times. And she always says to me, no, it was your idea. I'm like, no.
It's cool. I just wanted to make that point. No, I love that origin story. And I really love that Augustine story. And I think it's really important for people to understand that this comes actually out of a place of deep appreciation of the rituals and the liturgy and the significance of Ash Wednesday, which for me also, I'm a Baptist, but it's something that I actually take really seriously each year because it's a time of deep reflection about what is important. What do I want to focus my energy on? What, the words are like, remember you are ash and to ash you return. So it's really about like, what do you want to spend this life doing? How do you want to prepare your spirit? How do you want to present your spirit? How did this become part of Parity? How did you team up is actually like the next question.
Well, Liz's book had recently come out and it's called Queer Virtue. And if you haven't read it, it's amazing. So I read Liz's book and I thought, oh my goodness, I need to meet this person. She sounds amazing. So I got in touch with Liz and lo and behold, she said yes to meeting for coffee. And then we became fast friends. So during that time in January, Liz mentioned this to me. We were trying to figure out, okay, how can we do cool, meaningful things together? And Liz said, well, what do you think about this idea? And I had the same reaction that Liz had. It kind of took me aback for a minute. But then I thought, no, this is amazing. This is something people can do, because that was what we were hearing. What can I do in this moment? And so it was perfect, and we ran with it.
I think of Ash Wednesday as a very countercultural moment in the kind of original sense, in that, like, it's not a commercial moment. It's not a celebrity moment. It's really like, this is where I stand moment. And I think the glitter Ash Wednesday is not meant to actually divert that. It's meant to underline it in some ways. This is the way I'm hearing what you're saying. Let's go back to the first time you administered glitter ash on someone's forehead and what that felt like.
Our first Ash Wednesday, we were down at that little pocket park at the Stonewall National Monument. We decided to, like, go to where the movement was really took off. So we're in this little pocket park, and we have that. There's a very short liturgy that we've created that people can do if they want to do Ash Wednesday events. So we held this little liturgy, and a number of people gathered for that. And then the Christopher Street subway station is right there. And so we sort of spread out, and it became like an ashes to go kind of moment, where we were just catching people as they were coming to the subway, starting their morning commute, with the difference being that we wanted to make sure that nobody participated in this without their consent. So it was really important to have a really quick here's a palm card that explains what this is, but let me just tell you, you know, that this is sort of a protest movement, and it's an affirmation of LGBTQ people. We'd have a quick little chat about it and then say, Would you like this? And I think the whole morning, Marianne, I don't know what your experience was exactly, but the whole morning, I think I only had one person who said, nope, that's not for me. But I had a number of people who said, my relationship to the church is so strained right now. There is no way I would have done Ash Wednesday, but I'll do this, you know, right here. Put it right here, you know.
Yeah.
Marianne, did you have that experience?
I did, Liz. It was an aha moment that I could watch people's faces change. You know, oh no, here's this religious person that wants to do something. I'm going to run away. To, oh, this is interesting. And this fits with me. This fits with my life. I'm not sure how I feel about faith and religion. I'm not sure about God, but there is hope. There is hope that God does love me. And there is hope in the people I see around me, in seeing Liz and I in our clerical collars, openly queer, saying, God loves you.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's really, actually, it's the most transformative thing possible. And frankly, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, renting garments and oh, no, you know, young people don't like the church. Well, guess what? The number one reason that people say they leave the church is because they associate the church with anti-queer rhetoric. You know, that's like that, you know, people are, because they're like, oh, I have to choose between liking my gay friends or me being gay and my faith. Okay, I'm done. And what this is offering is actually that is a false dichotomy. We're not going to accept that anymore. You know, one of the things that occurs to me is that this, I think it could be especially liberative for queer people, but there's also people who really want to show solidarity with the people in their life whom they love, who they want to make sure that they know that their Christian faith welcomes them, embraces them, celebrates them. So my guess is that this is not just LGBTQ people that you're administering glitter ashes to, but it's also allies and neighbors and friends and loved ones.
That's absolutely right, Paul. And at this point, it's even gone beyond, you know, gesturing toward affirmation of LGBTQ people. There is something in this liturgy that points to the center of the tradition itself. So that there is something in here that people can grab hold of in terms of understanding anew what it is that is precisely so compelling in Christianity. And to me, it's inherently a queer positive message, but it's not just a queer positive message. So one thing just to know about the glitter and ash. So we use purple glitter. and you mix it in with the ash. And the truth is, it's actually, it can be a little hard to see, actually, you know, depending on how much glitter the ashes will actually hold, you know. So you put it on your forehead. And what really happens is you see the glitter when the light catches it somehow, you know. And it reminds me of an extraordinary Black preacher that I know who has been something of a mentor to me. And I heard her preach once this incredible sermon about how Christians are, we are Easter people in a Good Friday world, which is a paradoxical concept and a difficult concept. How
Good,
do you...
Just for those listening who don't know, like, the Christian faith so much, on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified, died, and then on Easter, he was risen and give new life, which is very significant to Christians.
Thank you for that. Now, Paul, you've named that exactly right. And that's why this is, goes to the center of Christianity, because what Christianity says is we find new life by going through experiences of death. And for people who are involved in social justice movements, you find justice by having the courage to take risks, to put yourself on the line, you know. And that's what that means to say we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. It means we don't ignore all the death-dealing realities around us. We enter into them confident that we will come out, we will find new life. And really, in many ways, even a traditional Ash Wednesday service, that's what the proclamation is this idea that we take the reality of death so seriously that we put it on our foreheads and we expect new life. Glitter and ash just takes that, like turbocharges that by having this purple glitter, the purple symbolizing the repentance of the season of Lent, and I would say the accountability of the season of Lent. And it sparkles, it shines, you see it. So it's not just gloom and doom and we're so depressed. No, it's we're willing to enter into these death-dealing experiences precisely because you can see the sparkle of it. You can see what is hopeful, you know, it's like a gird your loins kind of moment.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that, you know, I love the subtlety. And then if you look at it, it becomes more. And I think that's like the great thing about any liturgical tradition is that the more you really go into it, the more you discover and the more meaningful it becomes. And the idea of, you know, the ashes themselves come from the palms that we wave, you know, welcoming Jesus, and then like mixing those, you know, those that are have been burnt, and then mixing those with glitter. And like this idea of like, even within the ashes, there's like sparkle. And then, you know, what can the resurrection, you know, this I'm preaching now because, you know, we're all from the Christian tradition. No one has to adopt this language, but you should understand, like, for me, the resurrection means new life for everybody, abundant life for everybody, justice for everybody, freedom for everybody. And that includes queer people. Tell me a little bit about parody and what the goals of parody are and how that fits in with the Glitter Ash Wednesday.
Parody's goal is to highlight the wonderful ways that people share faith that is LGBT affirming. And what I particularly love about Glitter Ash Wednesday is that I get orders from congregations and chaplains, people all over the country and outside of the United States that want glitter ashes, but I ask them to tell me what they're going to do. And then I get to hear the story of, oh, our youth group wants to lead an Ashes to Go service in Princeton, New Jersey. Or I have a congregation that wants to show that they're in solidarity and we're going to have a service and we're going to have a liturgy outside. And the stories go on and on from Texas to Canada, everywhere. And I love it.
That's fabulous. Okay. So, Ash Wednesday, we're going to be airing during the week that Ash Wednesday. How can people find out about it? And if it's too late this year to order your ashes, your glitter ashes, we've already been given the example. It's not too soon to put a note in your calendar. So where can people find out more?
People can find out more at parody.nyc. And what they'll find is they'll find instructions for making glitter ashes themselves. They'll also find liturgies and information. And if someone wants to attend a service or ashes to go near them, all they need to do is to get in touch with me, because there are literally hundreds all over the country. We can't keep up with it anymore. But also, people can order glitter blessings. And these are vials of blessed holy oil from Jerusalem with biodegradable glitter. People use them for Pride Festival outreach. They use them, someone's using them in a transfiguration service. They're used in all different ways, and we send them out for free because we believe blessings are meant for all year round and blessings should be free.
Well, I think this is the definition of fabulous. You know, so so I think this is so good. What's your social media handles? Can people find you in social media spaces?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm hashtag Liz_Edman, E-D-M-A-N. There's also a Queer Virtue website, and you can get information about some of the theology of Glitter Ash Wednesday on the Queer Virtue website as well.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. And our main presence is parody.nyc, our website. And we're also on Facebook at parody.nyc.
Liz and Marion, thank you so much. This was so much fun. It's like making me excited for Ash Wednesday. This is so appreciated and wonderful work right now. You know, thank you for being on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
And with that, I'm afraid that's all the time we've got for this week's show. We need your help in keeping this show on the air. I hope you'll consider being a partner in this crucial work by making a financial contribution today. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And you can also be part of making sure informative and encouraging voices like these are heard by sharing this program with friends and family. Let's get more people listening and more people taking part in these conversations, both on and off the air. Never miss an episode by subscribing to the weekly State of Belief podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. And join the conversation. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at State of Belief and share State of Belief with people in your life. State of Belief is produced by Ray Kirstein and it is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member of Interfaith Alliance today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week. I can't wait. Until then, I'm Paul Rauschenbusch, and that's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.